It's good to have you here today, and even though this is Friday at the end of what perhaps has been a long week, let's not lose our focus. Let's keep the momentum we had last time and carry that over into today. To do that, let me remind you that we're in Acts chapter 2 as we discover that the Holy Spirit is powerful. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible tells us that when the promised Holy Spirit comes, all the believers in Jesus Christ, gathered in the upper room, quote, were all filled with the Holy Spirit, unquote. And we want to know, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Good question. And last time I began to answer this question by first making a distinction between being baptized with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between baptism and filling, and you really need to know the difference. So, if you were not with us yesterday, then here's what you need to do. In your web browser, type in 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com, and get the free podcast of yesterday's God Is. Listen to it, and then what I say today will make much more sense to you. Believe me, it will. This is particularly true because I do not want to spend time today reviewing the details of what is the baptism with the Holy Spirit, because we need to secure this time for a discussion on being filled with the Holy Spirit. However, in a minute, I will make some contrast between the two. Just do yourself a big favor and get yesterday's broadcast and this broadcast today together and listen to these two parts. They go together. Today's will also be available at the WEZE website, so you can listen again to both this weekend. And you can go back even further and get my entire teaching on the Holy Spirit's power in Acts 2, which if you'll do that, you will really be helped in your own understanding of this dynamic section of God's Holy Word. And should you have any questions, comments, agreement, disagreement, criticisms, and the like, email me. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com. That's mark@markaswallow.com. Or you can write to me via regular mail, God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. Please write to me today. And with that, let's return to our question, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'll answer that question this way. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is for the Christian to submit to the Spirit's control in the Christian's life. I'll repeat that. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is for you, a Christian person, to submit to the Spirit's control in your life. And this is a continuing and ongoing experience in the life of a believer in Jesus. The Spirit is always filling us, and that is in contrast to the baptism with the Holy Spirit, right? As I said, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a sovereign act of God, a one-time action at the point of our salvation that securely places the genuine Christian in the body of Christ, the church. God does this. Jesus performs this baptism with the Holy Spirit. We do not. We receive what Jesus does for us. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, you and I must cooperate with the Spirit. The filling is a repeated action that takes place daily over the course of time in the believer's life, all the way to the time when we die and enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are commanded as Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen briefly to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And if you can or could read that in the Greek text, you'd see that the way it is written indicates continuous action. Be filled with the Holy Spirit repeatedly. Let's take a look in the New Testament at how some of the early disciples of Jesus were constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit as they purposefully submitted to the Spirit's control in their lives. And I'll begin with Peter, so I can show how he was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But he was again filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4. I do this to prove to you that all Christians are continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time action in the past. It is a present, continuous, and ongoing action. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that Peter was a part of the group of early Christians in that upper room where this filling took place. And then listen to Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, when Peter is being persecuted for his faith in Christ, following the healing of a sick man, and Peter's bold proclamation of the gospel. This is Acts chapter 4, and I'll actually read verses 8 through 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health." How was it that Peter could stand there amid so much opposition from the Jewish leaders and say, "You crucified Christ"? But despite what you men standing here right now questioning me, despite what you did, God raised Christ from the dead. God undid what you did. How could Peter have such boldness? I'll tell you how. He was again filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter was a man who submitted to the Spirit's control in his life. He allowed the Spirit to dominate him, to control him, to fill him. Well, maybe you are a person who needs more than one example for a point to be proven to you. I submit to you for your consideration, Stephen. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible describes the disciple of Christ, the early Christian martyr Stephen, as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. But Stephen is filled again with the Holy Spirit near the end of his life down in Acts 7 and verse 55. Listen to Acts 7, verse 55. "But being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Stephen, like Peter, was filled repeatedly, filled continuously by the Holy Spirit as he submitted total control of his life to the Spirit of God. And the same must be true for us, the present-day disciples of Jesus. We Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit when we submit to the Spirit's control in our lives. Remember now, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit once and forever at the precise moment of our salvation, but we are filled with the Holy Spirit continuously as we submit to the Spirit's control in our lives. And that is why I have made the biblical distinction between baptism with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I trust that you see my point. This is the clear teaching of Scripture once you do the work of understanding what the text is saying. Too many Christians do not want to do that work in the biblical text, so they settle for whatever they hear on radio, TV, social media, podcasts, even from their pastors or preachers and speakers in churches, in conferences and the like. I hope that you will not settle for that, but that you will search the Scriptures and understand the Bible for yourself. The Bible is here for you to read and to understand. Let me end today by giving you a practical description of what it actually looks like when we proactively, daily, and hour by hour submit ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Christ commands his people to do this. And so because we love the Lord, we will obey his commands and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25 puts this submission to the Holy Spirit perfectly. This is the Apostle Paul's letter to the believers in Galatia. I'll read to you now most, not all of these verses due to time constraints. However, you can read all of this for yourself this weekend. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of this Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That phrase, walk by the Spirit, is what it means to be filled by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Submit to the Spirit's control in your life. Be filled with the Spirit. And if you and I will do this, then we will produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is beautiful and eternal. But if we will not walk by the Spirit, we will not submit to the Spirit's control, we will not be filled with the Spirit, then look what we produce. Junk. Sin. Christian friends, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will experience His power in your life. This is what the first Christians in the upper room in Acts 2 experienced, and you and I must also. And so today, and this weekend, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Read Galatians 5, and meditate deeply on that text, and then apply that text to your life, and then join me again on Monday, for God is...